I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. Good afternoon, Jeff Dawson, from a beautiful, cloudless October 1st in Dallas, Texas. Man, this is the perfect fall day, and it reminds me of when I went to Oklahoma State and we're going to football games. Man, the weather was beautiful. It was perfect, and I'd really like to be in Fort Worth right now watching TCU kick the living shit out of OU. It is 48-17. With just over 2 minutes in the third quarter. I don't remember the last time OU got schooled like this. When I was looking at Facebook, to all my OU associates, not a peep, not a peep. Of course, they said nothing last week either when they got it handed to them by K-State. But watching some of the replays from K-State-Texas Tech game, it looks like they're for real. They have found something, and oh my God, it's about to be 54-17, and if they get the extra point, 55. And just another note, TCU had 444 yards in the first half. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. But hey, keep pouring it on, because since I went to OSU, I know what it feels like for a team to just keep racking up points so you can move up in the standings. And OU did it to us one too many times. So to see them receive it in spades, hell yeah, I'm all for it. Bring it on. Put another two touchdowns up on that board and see how they like it. Yeah, they aren't, but that's okay. All right, if you want to call in, the numbers are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. You can listen to it on iHeartRadio at 631-359-9353. And I would like to welcome Mr. Doug as a new subscriber. I appreciate that kindly. He mentioned that to me last night, and I was like, hell of a deal. So the more we get, the better the program can be. And subscriptions start at $2.99, go up to $49.99. The difference is, what do you think the content's worth? So sign up, keep supporting this so we can keep it going. This is October 1st, as I already stated. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I am proud to announce that Dr. Makisha McDaniel Connor has set the date, and it will be October 12th at 6:30 p.m. at Magnolia Chiropractic in downtown Irving, and the address is 139 Main Street. There's only, it's downtown Irving, so there's like four businesses on each side of Main Street. You can't miss it. It's just, you know, it reminds me of Kaufman, Texas, and their square. It's still small. It's nice to go to, and she's keeping me on my feet. But we have set the date, and the program lasts about 45 minutes. I do my breast cancer and relationship talk based on my book, Love's True Second Chance, about Debbie Beck Larson. And then she follows up with the essential oils that she sells through doTERRA to maintain healthy breast tissue. So it will be a very informative evening, and we are toying with the idea of trying to do a Zoom call or a Facebook Live for those that cannot attend. But if you have friends that are interested in this, and especially female, it's a very relaxed atmosphere. It's not stuffy. It's really nice because we do it in her office. It's not this formal meeting, and you got all this hype music going on that As an Herbalife distributor, that kind of drives me nuts when I go to some of these events because I've never been into the pom-pom cheerleading, rah-rah attitude. I did it with another MLM company years ago. I think it was Lifetronics. And I like the products. I mean, hell, I'm even wearing, let's say, yeah, there's my pen. Get fit now, ask me how, or lose weight now, ask me how. Herbalife, they've really got good products. And the ones I can take, I take every day. I've been taking their joint supplement. I do a shake a day. And those are the two. They were out of Restore, which that's the product that got me going through my son Justin because it leveled out my blood pressure. Now, I can't make a medical claim. Let's just put that disclaimer up there right now. I can't do that. But I can tell you what it did for me. And my blood pressure used to look like a roller coaster. I started taking that and it leveled it off. How? I don't know. All I know is that it worked. But sadly, they were out the last time I reordered. So I have to see if they've got it again. And Patty, I didn't get a chance to ask you last night, but do you like what you purchased? Just let me know. So it was Friday night. That means we were at Dunstan's. And it was a good gathering, as always. Patty, Jerry, Doug, and Wes actually showed up on time. That was a real shocker. He usually drags in about 8:45 or 9 o'clock because he works night, but he was an early bird, and it was good to have him for the whole evening and share in the festivities and jocularity, which there's always a lot of. I mean, my sister, adopted sister, let's get that straight. She is a hoot, and we do have a really good time. Yes, there are a lot of barbs that go back and forth, but that's what makes it fun and keeps it fresh and entertaining. Because she is very good natured. If she wasn't, she'd have told me to get my goat smelling ass out of there a long time ago and back to the kiddie table. But so far, she has tolerated me. So those are good times, very good times. All right, we got a lot to go over. A book review. This is going to be quick, and because I've talked about it before. Only the Ball Was White by Robert Peterson. If you want to see what it's like when real men played the game, and I do emphasize real, this book is all about the Negro Leagues and what they went through and the amount of double headers they played and the weather they played in and on and on. These guys today couldn't do that for a week. They would whimper and whine and call the players union and bitch and moan and complain. I mean, these guys really are. It's pathetic, and the announcers are just as bad, but I'll get into that later. But it really is a good book. And it's a short read. I think it's, depending on your speed, 3, maybe 4 days max. If you're a voracious reader, you'll get it done in about 2 days and go, damn, that was really good. So Only the Ball Was White by Robert Peterson. Now, last night at dinner, and I'm going to, th this was a knee-jerkpedia thing that I've talked about through the years. There is a meme going around on Facebook about Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy 28, and it was verse 43 and 44. Well, when I saw the meme, I had to say, okay, if you want to apply that to today, you can, but what is chapter 28 about in Deuteronomy? Well, it's about God telling the Jews, this is what I'm going to do for you if you follow my laws. And this is what I'm going to do to you if you choose poorly. So he gave them, you can choose wisely or you can choose poorly. Choose wisely, your families will be bountiful, your crops will flourish, your harvest will be abundant. You'll have more livestock than you can shake a stick at. You'll have more ancestors than you ever possibly imagined. But, oh, and your enemies will be defeated. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to kick your ass. Your crops are going to dry up. Your family, your women are going to be barren. Your enemies are going to rule you, and they're going to thump you like a stepchild. Forget about crops because the land's not going to get water. Livestock, forget that. And your enemies, well, you're going to be subservient to them. So you have two choices. But the verses that they were throwing out there were, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. 44. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now, I don't have that mem right in front of me that was on Facebook, but the one thing I did notice was the structure. And I'm not a biblical authority by any stretch of the imagination. However, in all the Bibles that I have read, the verses are all by themselves. They're not combined. Well, in this one, they were combined. And I'm like, okay, who manufactured this? Now, I'm not going to say who showed this to me, but I shook my head and I said, one, I'm going to go back and read it. Now, this is the Holy Bible. This is the Gideon's version. And I read this every day. Can't you tell? See how worn it is? Because there's always something new to learn in it. And to fact-check Facebook posts. So don't be a subscriber to Kneejerkpedia just because you can and say, oh, well, I like that because it supports my political position. Well, screw the political position. What about your life in general? How does it affect your life in general? Because that's what the book is about. It's not about politics per se. It's about your personal growth and development and how to treat others, how to follow laws, how to have faith, not religion, but faith. Religion is what man has devised to bastardize faith. I mean, I could get into the Roman Catholic Church, but I'm not going to. But we can go through history. The Crusades are a perfect example that we're doing this for the glory of God. No, you're doing it for the glory of the treasure and the control of the land. Let's just be honest. And, but I just wanted to go over that. If you've seen that meme on Deuteronomy 28, verses 40, 44 and 45, I believe, 43 and 44, don't take it as fact. Research it. It's just like, there was another meme about John Deere is being forced to go all electric in 2 years. Well, guess what? That's not true either. Yes, a lot of the heavy companies are experimenting with electric power. And I've said this before, transportation evolves. But when the government forces it, it's not going to evolve worth a damn. It's just going to be a major failure. Let it evolve on itself, just like when the horse replaced walking. And then they came up with wagons. And then they came up with stagecoaches. It evolved. And then came the combustible engine. Well, it didn't replace the horse overnight. And there was a good post the other day that back in the day, poor people had horses, rich people had cars. Well, now it's rich people have horses and poor people have cars. A lot of truth to that one. I had to agree with that, man. I had to agree with that. Now, on the before I get on the smoking, I was horrible last night. I'll admit I just failed miserably. But overall, I'm down to like a pack and a half a day. And I have to thank Dr. McDaniel for turning me on to these items. It's called, I'm taking clove, copaiba, lavender, black pepper, and is that it? Clove, black pepper, copaiba, lavender. Now I'm missing one. Where the hell to go? There it is. Oh, cilantro. That right? Yeah. They have helped me cut back. But what the one thing they have done is cleaned out my lungs. Oh, good Lord. I've been coughing stuff up for weeks, but I can feel my chest isn't tight anymore. So I want to thank her for that. So it is improving my health. And I look forward to the day I wake up and I don't have to open a pack of cigarettes, especially since they're just under $9 a pack right now, unless you get a Quick Trip, and then you're really going to pay through the nose. Good stuff. And this is one of the, like I said, she will follow up after I finish my presentation with the essential oils that will maintain healthy breast tissue. So you are not one of the 250,000 gals that are diagnosed with it each year. And the one thing I noticed when I wrote the book, Love's True Second Chance, the number of women who died each year was 35,000. Well, you would think with all the money and all the awareness and all the programs that that number would go down. No, it's up to 42,000 a year. So we're going backwards. Well, we got to figure out why we're going backwards. Since I lost someone to this, I know how devastating the loss can be. All right. Quickly, irritating commercials. God, there's so many, it's hard to pick them. But the progressive ones about homeowners don't want to grow up to be their parents. Man, I don't know where progressive comes up with their scripts, but those people are all pussies. That's all there is to it. I wanted to grow up to be like my father's, but not these, not the ones progressive talks about. They're all just mealy mouth, for a better word, they're liberals. It's like they couldn't develop a thought if it slapped them up the side of the head and fell on them in a 10-ton weight. They just, they make especially men just look stupid. Well, blow it out your ass, progressive. I'm not stupid and I'm not buying into your crapola. And I was really sad to see that AT&T has LeBron James with little Mila. I like her, but I can't stand him. AT&T that hard up, just like Jersey Mike's with Danny DeVito. Why do we need spokespeople anyway? Like I said, I like Mila, but no, Progressive is just they and Liberty Mutual hand in hand. They get the Darwin Award this year for dumbassery on commercials, and they should get a big plaque for their advertising groups too, and say, "Here, this is what we think of you this year, morons." So, what was the top story this week? Well, unless you've been living under a rock, it was Hurricane Ian. She was big. What did they say? It stretched 300 miles from edge to edge. Got up to a Category 4, but it's, if you listen to the press, well, they wanted to be a Category 5 so they could make it even more destructive and more damaging and more massive and blah, blah, blah. It's like they were crying in their beer that it didn't reach Category 5 status. Hey, you don't live there, so why don't you just shut the hell up? But here are the adjectives that I heard: slammed, unprecedented, stirring, shocking, behemoth, destruction, wrath, phenomenal, unrelenting, devastating, dramatic, shocking, drenches, enormous, scraping, barreling, excessive. Any other adjectives you want to throw in there? And I don't care which channel you watch, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, like I went through and wanted to hear the bylines that these people were coming up with and the adjectives their producers had thrown into their scripts. And there they were. I'm sure that doesn't cover them all. Well, if you're someone that had family living there and you don't live there, this is not what you want to hear. This just grips fear in people. And then if you sat there and watched this nonstop, it just wore you out mentally and physically. You were just overcome with all of their words that were designed to catch your attention, my ass. This was not responsible reporting by any stretch of the imagination, and anyone who supports it should be shot. I mean, I was just disgusted with how they handled it. I mean, these shots of trees down, power lines down, streets flooded, roofs ripped off. No shit, Sherlock. What storms and hurricanes and tornadoes do we have where trees are down, power lines are down, streets are flooded? Hell, we had one 6 weeks ago in Dallas when we got, what was it, 12 to 16 inches of rain in 24 hours? Well, streets are flooded. No shit, Sherlock, duh. The storm drain is designed to only handle so much money. For those of us in higher elevations, not money. Those of us in higher elevations, the water has a place to drain to. For us, it's going to be the Trinity River. It's going to be White Rock. But if those streams are full, guess what the water's going to do? It's going to back up, and the streets are going to flood. This is not a novel idea. This is a fact. This is hydrology 101. If you have too much water, it's not all going to drain off immediately. It's going to take a while for it to dissipate. But, oh, and ships. Ships have been tossed around like little tinker toys. No shit. Duh. They're in the bay. The storm's coming into the bay. What do you think's going to happen to the ships? But this is nothing like what we saw with Katrina. And those of us old enough, jog your memory on Biloxi, Mississippi. Remember where the casino boats wound up? And those things are huge. They're in downtown Biloxi. Did you see that with Ian? No. You saw boats of all different sizes that got tossed around in their berths. Duh. That's not news. You saw this concrete pier was just ripped apart. The water undermined it with the surge, which, if you undermined any foundation, it's going to move. I mean, the ridiculousness of the coverage was just, for me, it was appalling. It's like, I didn't think about it, but I'm old enough to remember the 1969 moon landing. I'm also old enough to remember the Apollo 13 disaster. But no, disaster is not the word. The accident that happened when the oxygen tanks shorted and blew out a panel and caused all types of mayhem on those spaceships. But during the movie, Jules Bergman is talking about everything that can go wrong. And I'm thinking, was that really information that we, the American people, needed to know? And what about the wives of the astronauts? Yeah, they're getting some feedback from NASA, but now they're watching on TV that the chance of their loved ones, especially when they talk about the heat shield, when they make an assumption that the heat shield is cracked, that, well, they're just going to burn up in the atmosphere. Marilyn Lovell should have sued the hell out of NASA. Not NASA, but because I think it was CBS that Walter Cronkite worked for. That was not, to me, responsible journalism. That was, we're going to feed you information. We don't care that the families don't know about this, but we're just going to let them know that the chances of your husband's coming back alive are thin to none. But look at our ratings. And I think that's a fair analogy. I mean, this is the stupidity that just floored me through the whole thing. And yeah, I'm really going to hammer Fox on their poor coverage. Jesse Walters on Wednesday night. When are the crews going to start restoring power? The damn storm is still coming on shore. And he's asking this moronic question. Well, why don't these people say, hey, dumbass, when we get the all clear and the storm's gone, then we'll go in. We're not going to go in at the height of it, you dumb moron. I'm going to try and calm my language, but I was just infuriated with this coverage. Yeah, why aren't the crews working? Oh, and great question. That was not a great question. That was the dumbass question of the year. And why didn't boat owners get them out of the water? Well, where are they going to put them? My dad bought a boat and we left it at the house, but it was a small ski boat, fishing boat. It would fit by the side of our house. Nowadays, we'd probably get ticketed because it wasn't on concrete. Well, you don't store these boats at your house. And yes, like up north, they have storage facilities where they wrap the boats up and they put them. They've got outside storage, they've got inside storage. Well, maybe they don't have those facilities there. And when you got sailboats, they take up a hell of a lot of space unless you lower the mast and pick up the rudders on them, but you can't on all of them. It's just inexcusably unprofessional bullshit reporting. That's all we got through this. I mean, that's just one. Okay. The fire station in Naples. This just had me falling out of my chair. I'm surprised they didn't have a coronary. The reporter, I forgot which one of these mindless morons it was. It could have been Walters or Ainsley or any of them. They're in the flood zone and the fire station got flooded. Okay. Well, the reporter is talking that it's chest deep and they're showing a shot of a fireman walking out to the truck and it's just barely above his knees. Now, maybe she's a midget. And Doug, I don't mean that in a bad form because we did talk about that last night, but it's like, this is TV, not radio. We can see the guy. It's just above his knees. If it was at his chest, the water would have been inside the fire truck, but it wasn't. That is inexcusably poor reporting, but they do it just to make themselves look good because they're bucking for a promotion, they're bucking for a raise, and they're bucking for whatever bullshit award their peers are going to give them for such hard hitting and fact finding, reporting my ass. No. Good Lord. And yeah, I threw, oh, it was Harris Faulkner. That's who was saying it. Yeah, she's a real charmer, isn't she? But her whole spiel is that she stares into that camera the whole time with such a serious face, and that you're going to believe she's this great journalist. No, you're not. God. I mean, the way she talked, it should have been Noah 2.0. I was waiting for him in an arc to go floating across the screen, but hey, that didn't happen, did it? Where is that models? I think it's in Tennessee. I guess they should have paid them a couple of $1 million to bring it down there to make their story more compelling. Yeah, right. And then Ainsley was worried about boat insurance. Do you think the insurer doesn't know that that boat is sitting in water, you blonde-headed little twit? Do you think they don't pay through the nose because they're in a hurricane zone? You idiot. Oh, good Lord. And this was too much for me. I know she doesn't know anything about construction, but the reporter is standing by a small sign. And what a small sign is we've all been to the stores, you got the handicap parking, and there's a little sign up there with a handicap placard on it on a stand. Well, that's a small sign. Your speed limits. We call those small signs. Well, when you put them in the ground, they've got a 6 to 9 inch concrete circle around them. That's what holds them in place so they don't fall down on the highways and the city streets. What a novel idea. And it's about foot deep. Well, this one not only was that, but it was in a concrete sidewalk. And she made the brilliant, educated comment, "I hope it doesn't collapse on him." Oh, really? It's not going to collapse. And if it does, then the building he's standing next to is coming down on top of him. Ainsley, do us a big favor. Stop talking. It's detrimental to your mental health and ours. I would love to be a guest host on these shows and in especially the Rangers broadcast booth, and my only job would be to point out their dumbassery. Go, did you really just say that? Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you stick to the game? I would love to do that. Just to keep these people on point and quit making it up as they go, because that's all they are good at. It's a show to them. It's not information that we want. It's a show to them, or especially with Fox. Who's releasing a book this week? Who is the Book of the Month Club on Fox this week, this month? Oh, Lord. All right. Oh, what other moronic things did they say? I covered that. But I mean, she acted so shocked that this hurricane had destructive power. Well, wait a minute. You all sit there and say, "I'll be sure to watch that. I'll be sure to watch that." Well, obviously, you weren't watching your top-notch Fox meteorologist, because if you had, you wouldn't have asked stupid questions. And that's just goes all over me with all of these shows on the major networks. Oh, great show. Just once, I'd like to hear someone say, "Man, what the hell were you smoking when you came up with your script tonight?" Because that is the biggest bullshit I've heard in a month. But hey, I'll give you 15 minutes of my show so I don't look as stupid as you. I think that's a novel idea. And if I was in the Ranger broadcast booth, I'd lay you money. Raymond and Nitwit would not be allowed to talk, because the minute they open their mouth, I'd go, "Do you know what you're talking about? Did you think about it?" I mean, the other night at a Ranger game, they were in Seattle, and the camera pans out to the bay, and guess what you see? You see a big boat. And Raymond and Nitwit were like, "Well, what is that? What do you think that does? Blah, 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 blah. Watch out. The Three Stooges are smarter than these two idiots." You could tell for the normal person with a mind and somewhat of a fifth grade education, it's a ferry. It carries people and boats, and they didn't know what it was. And they're raising children. Oh my God, we're all doomed. It's a ferry, you idiots. And I'm not talking about one and a tutu. It moves people, goods, and vehicles. Why is that such a foreign concept to you? And I'd hate to see. they got to be making $100,000 to $200,000 a year to look stupid. I'd love to be in that booth to shake them up and tell them what I really think about them. Wouldn't that be fun? I think so. That might kick the viewership up. Okay. Now, the other thing, and Wes and I talked about this, it's like everybody wanted to be first on who's out of power. Well, it started at a million, then it went to a million and a half, then it went back down to a million, then it went to 2 million, then it went up to 3 million. And here comes Ron DeSantis on, and you know how many people he says are out of power? 1.8 million. This is the governor of Florida. You think he doesn't know how many people don't have power? And the other side note here is if everyone evacuated, then you got to rely on Florida Power and Light to give you the numbers on, okay, all these areas are without power. Not people, but the businesses and those homes. Well, if you're evacuated, no one's without power there. Isn't that the way it works? But the news would have you believe that you have all these people and no one has power. Now, back in 2020, when we had the deep freeze here in Texas, oh, good God, yeah. We were without power, but it depended where you were because they were doing those rolling blackouts. Where I live is considered industrial, not residential. So we were heavily affected by it. But I've talked to some people that are in residential areas that they didn't lose it for that. They'd lost it, but maybe for 2 or 3 hours a day. We might have had power for 4 to 5 hours a day. And I'll tell you what, it was cold. But there was no place to go. Where were you going to evacuate to? No place. Just stay home, wherever it is, and find whatever you can to stay warm because it was bone-chilling cold. And I'm still pissed off that those people at ERCOT, the legislature, the utility commission, and Abbott have not been held accountable for the over $1 billion in damage. And I believe it was 24 deaths that we sustained during that ridiculous power failure. That rests on their shoulders, especially the people at ERCOT. No, they just left. They just moved on to other jobs. Nobody was held accountable. But I don't want to get into Abbott because I get pissed off. All right. Now, everyone wanted to talk about how big and destructive Ian is. Well, I haven't seen pictures that rival the tornado that hit Tuscaloosa, Joplin, Missouri, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Joplin, Missouri, or Moore, Oklahoma. Y'all remember those videos? Everything was just wiped out. It was flat. You couldn't believe it. I remember driving up to Kansas after the tornado had hit the southern part of Moore. This was tornado one. Two came later, about, was it 10 years ago? 10 years later, I believe. I've seen tornado damage, but I hadn't seen damage like this. That was horrendous. I mean, with the exception of what looked like an apartment complex, past that, there was nothing. It was gone. Gone. Just vanished. Like nothing had ever been there. We saw that in Joplin, Missouri, when it destroyed a quarter of that city, the one that hit Tuscaloosa. But I haven't seen those videos. I've seen videos of boats that have been upturned and kind of floated away. I've seen damage to convenience stores, to mobile home parks. Well, duh. Those are not major structures. I remember the one that hit Mexico City, and I forgot to look up the name of the hurricane that hit. All of those businesses that were up on stilts or right on the bay, they were gone, just gone. Mexico City, Florida, they were just wiped out. I haven't seen that with Ian. Yeah, she dropped a lot of water. just like Houston had, I think it was, they called it Sandy, that just sat on Houston for like 24 or 36 hours. Now, this was before Hurricane Harvey. And it was just a tropical depression, and it just sat on Houston and flooded it out. Have you really seen those pictures? I haven't. And if you have, tell me where to go and I'll look them up, but I haven't seen it. And, you know, destruction was two hurricanes come to mind. Katrina, 1,500 miles of coastline, 10 to 20 miles deep. That was her signature. That's destruction. Or the one that hit Galveston in 1900 that killed 6 to 10,000 people and destroyed a third of the island. That's destruction. This was media destruction. This was media ratings destruction. And if any of you had to deal with that, you should write a letter to the news agencies and let them know what you think. Just like I'm going to write a letter to Ray Davis, the principal owner of the Texas Rangers, and outline, without getting nasty, what they need to do in this offseason to make this team a contender and a championship in the next 2 years, not 5 years, the next 2 years. Why the hell isn't Oklahoma State on? They're supposed to be on. Well, this is aggravating. Must be another channel. No? Oh, Fox, that's why, you dumbass, you know? If I had a brain some days, I'd actually remember things. It's supposed to be on Fox, Jeff, not ESPN. But yeah, K-State just beat the living shit out of OU. Hallelujah. There it is, Oklahoma State and Baylor. My God, Baylor's uniforms are about as butt ugly as they get. They rival the Rangers' ice cream blue uniforms. They look like, I don't know, yellow jackets or marigolds or daisies. Turn the game on. It's on Fox. That's a bad look. Okay. Oh, and the other thing, you know, the reporters were estimating and speculating, because that's all they do is estimate and speculate. Hundreds are dead. No, I didn't, haven't checked today, but as of yesterday, it was 21. So where do they get their facts? Aren't these news agencies supposed to check their facts before they push out a story? Absolutely not. That day is long gone, and anyone who thinks this is responsible journalism is sadly mistaken. No, I'm not a journalist, but I know what their job is. You put the facts together and then you write the story. You don't write the story and then get the facts. But that's what they do today. We're not reporting the news. We are reporting our opinion of what we think the news should be as of this moment. And if we have to retract, well, we'll do that later during a commercial break. I mean, that's about it. That's about it. Okay. Aaron Judge. There are a lot of detractors out there that don't think this is a big deal, that he has tied Maris's record and is possibly going to break it. Well, it is big news. I'm on this one site where this guy posted Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa, and how this was good for baseball. Yes, it was. That was a great race, but we didn't know how they obtained those results at the time. Now that we found out how they did it, especially McGuire, if you saw him 2 years after he retired when he was with the Cardinals, man, he'd lost probably 25% of that bulk. That just doesn't go away that fast unless it's fabricated. And then you look at the pictures of Bonds when he was a Pittsburgh Pirate and then became a San Francisco Giant. Nobody balloons up like that overnight without a hell of a lot of artificial help. So, yeah, in my opinion, the record is tainted. Judge is doing it with natural ability. And I didn't realize this, but I looked him up this morning. It's like when I saw a picture of him with his mom, it's like, good God, what's his dad look like? He's got to be a giant. Aaron Judge was adopted. He has another, I believe it's a brother that was adopted too. So, what do you think those parents are thinking now when they look at their son and what he's done? Hopefully, they're proud of him, but I wonder if they even have any contact and if he wants any contact with them. But this is an exciting race. And that's all there is to it. So I've got to turn that back on because at least ABC, ESPN is cutting in to show Judge's at bats. And the last time I checked, he had, let's see, he walked twice, been hit, and I saw him strike out, and that was like the fifth or sixth inning. So I don't know where he's at now. But the Yankees were leading, but it's a great race. It's very exciting. And I like him. I don't care if he's a Yankee. He is a baseball player. He is a very humble person. I've listened to his report when he gives interviews. It's not about him. It's about the team. It's if he gets it, that's great. But his main focus is helping the team win and hoping they will go to the World Series this year. He's not focused on himself. And if you haven't seen the movie 61 that Billy Crystal did, I highly recommend it. It's free on YouTube, free download. It's about an hour and 30, hour and 45 minutes, but it shows what it was like for how Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle interacted with each other during this race and how Maris was constantly chastised by the New York press because that's all they do. And I always liked it when a coach comes out and says, I'm not going to answer your questions because you're going to write what you want to anyway. So I just won't be reading your column because it's all crapola. But it's amazing how many people will read columns or watch ESPN and believe everything they say and take it at gospel. I don't take anything at gospel, nothing. Because I want to know the facts before I draw an opinion, which that goes back to my term, knee-jerkpedia, which there is way too much of it in today's world. Well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. I mean, you see it on the news shows. They're not programs, on the news shows that you watch. It's all opinion, and most of it's wrong, and they won't recant it. And they won't try and change it. They'll just ignore it and move on. And that's what's really wrong with our world today is, and I've said this before, accountability. There just is none. All right, what do we got here? Oh, and the last note on baseball is what do we got? About 7 minutes. Is the Rangers, and I don't know why the fans are just jumping up and down. Okay, we have four players that have hit 25 or more home runs: Semien, Lowe, Seager, and Garcia. And we are 35 and a half games out of first place, and now we're trailing the California Angels, so we're in fourth place. Would you like to tell me why you're excited over this? Because we saw this in the late 90s and the early 2000s when they built the team to take advantage of the Airstream in Globe Life Field or the ballpark in Arlington. Let me call it the ballpark in Arlington. They built that team to hit home runs, and they did. Palmeiro, Gonzalez, Rodriguez. God, there were some other guys, and their names just escape me right now. But they'd lead the majors in home runs every year and finish dead last. But that's what people are focused on. And I am in three baseball groups, and that's all anybody wants to focus on. Well, you know something? This ain't the movie Moneyball. Defense does matter. I mean, if you follow the A's, did they win the American League Championship using their sabermetrics? That answer would be no. Had they been competitive every year, that answer would be yes. But they had a problem that they were restricted by a very low payroll because the owners weren't going to put any more money into the team. It's like, here's what you got, do what you can. That's it. The Rangers have money. They have 50 people in their analytical department. They should all be fired because that hasn't worked. But defense does matter. Seager, last time I checked, was third in all of the major league for errors. Semien should be right behind him, but the way they are scoring errors today is just pathetic. All these people are doing is making excuses for a player not coming up with a ball. I think Semien, last time I checked, had like eight errors. Hell, I counted eight errors in the first 2 weeks of the season on muffed double plays. But nobody wants to focus on defense. They're all offensively minded. And what's the league average? 218, I think. I didn't look at what the Rangers' batting average is, but I remember last year it was lower than the league average, so we were helping set the curve. But defense does matter. Yes, runs help, but this is not a Hollywood film. This is not about, well, if we score more runs, well, if your defense sucks, you ain't going to score more runs. And we've seen that all through this season. What the hell is this? All right, I'll deal with that later. But what the Rangers lack is coaching. After watching them all year, their coaching is pathetic. We've seen it with the pitchers. They've got the arms. I am convinced this team has pieces. We don't need to go out and sign two big free agent starters. Last time we did that was with John Gray, 15 million. Cliff Lee didn't get that much, and he was a stud coming off of the Phillies. And we didn't pick him up until the close to the end, at the cutoff date going into August, because we were in a World Series run, 2010, I think. The arms are there. Dunning, Perez, Otto, Reagans. Those guys have the tools. They just need the guidance, and we don't have any guidance. So it doesn't matter who you bring in. Oh, throw John Gray in there too. There's five. Doesn't matter who you throw in the mix. If you don't have good coaching, it's a waste of space. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Good coaches will be able to bring these guys through. And why do they need four to five different pitches? Randy Johnson and Mario Rivera had one pitch and you knew what was coming. Can you hit it? Nolan Ryan, yep, he had his fastball, he had a slider, he had a curve. You knew what was coming. Can you hit it? That's what we lack. We lack good coaches to develop this talent and put this team on track. So, like I said earlier, I'm writing this letter to Ray Davis, and I'll give him my 2 cents. If it winds up in file 13, no shock there. But at least I'm not going to be one of these people that just keeps bitching and moaning and complaining on social media and doesn't have the stones to sit down and write a letter and mail it to them. Because nowadays, that takes a little effort, but effort is not a word that is known to many of the young people. Effort? What the hell's effort? Here, I'll give you a dictionary. Why don't you look it up? All right. I'm going to get ready to wrap this up. But October 12th, 6:30 p.m., Magnolia Chiropractor, 139 Main Street, Irving, Texas. The good Dr. Makisha Daniel Connor and I will be giving our breast cancer and relationship presentation. That will be 30 to 45 minutes of very informative information on how to deal with breast cancer and how to avoid getting breast cancer. And it's free. I will have books there for sale, but it's free. So the price is right. I know the time's a little early, depending where you live in the Metroplex, but you can come late. No one's going to ban you. No one's going to bar the doors. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then on Herbalife, if you need a pickup, this is called Liftoff. This is their orange flavor, and there's three others: lemon lime, fruit punch. There's a fruit punch, and pomegranate. I can't take those because it's 45 milligrams of caffeine, and after blood clots in 2010, blah, 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 it messed up my system, and I can't drink fully leaded coffee anymore, which really sucks. So I've gotten used to decaf, little sugar and cream, and hey, it gets me going. But this is really good. And those commercials you see with Frank Thomas, and she'll like it too. Well, I guarantee you take one of these before an evening with the date, and she'll like it too also. It's a good pick me up, and there's no crash. And if you can't do, because that's a pill that you dissolve in water, or some people I've heard have actually just put it in their mouth and let it dissolve. I don't think I'd do that, but they got a pill called Total Control. It's the same concept. It kicks up your metabolism. It burns up fat. It's just good stuff. It's really good stuff. And management seminars, I'll have to give a final shout out to Doug Kelly. His HR people are reading it, and according to him, they seem to be quite engaged in this little 109-page management book. I do seminars with it. I will come to your company. I'll make it short and sweet because the book is short and sweet. I won't waste your time, and I won't break your bank account. But I guarantee you, when I walk out of there, you will be informed, and you will have the tools you need to exceed, and your employees to exceed. Because that's one of the biggest things that I stress on, is this isn't just about upper management. This is from the top to the bottom, just like my baseball coaching manuals. From the top to the bottom, I cover it all. And when you're done reading, you go, he's not as stupid as he looks. And speaking of looks, this will be gone tomorrow. It's been driving me nuts because even at 62, I can still have a big head of hair. But let me tell you what, it gets to this point and it's time to get it cut. So, Rosemary, don't fail me tomorrow. I am ready to get this lopped off. I tried to get my adopted sister to do it, but I think she was afraid of repercussions, that if she messed it up, I might hunt her down and move in with her. That is kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is. All right. We have covered it all. It's been a good hour. I'm going to go back to watching Oklahoma State play Baylor, and I've already anticipated that we're probably going to lose because we don't have a running game and we don't have a secondary. If we win, I will be pleasantly surprised. If we lose, it's just another game. You all enjoy this beautiful fall weather wherever you are. Get out, take advantage of it, go for a walk, take a hike, go fishing, whatever you do that makes you happy, but enjoy it because, to quote a line from what's that stupid series I didn't like? Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Y'all have a great weekend, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at Jeff Dawson on Amazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and JeffDawsonAuthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.